2 Corinthians chapter 1. Maybe we'll start in verse 1. We may not look at the first couple verses for too long. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. Maybe we'll stop right there. We may look a little farther as we get on down in here. We may not. So you think about the church. And I think something that's very much lost maybe in the mindset of the church today is how that the Word of God presents us as a community that loves and that cares for one another. A community that seeks for the edification. And that word just means the building up of one another's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And recognizing this, that not everybody is at the same place. Not everybody's on the same rung of the ladder, if you want to say it that way. Not everyone's grown to the same level, but there's those that have grown much. There's those that maybe are newborns. There's those that are teenagers, as you would think about it, naturally speaking. And we're all put together in one family to help one another. It's never, ever that one would be exalted above another. It's never that one would be glorified over another. But recognizing this, that everything the church has come down from above. That God has given gifts. If there's people that have grown, it's because God has grown them. And if I know some folks might have a hard time swallowing that completely, but if it were not for the Lord intervening in man's shape, there wouldn't be a church. There would be nobody that was saved. It's the Lord that has established and that has built the church, and it's the Lord that is giving these gifts to the church. So he says this, this is in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So he's saying here in 1 Corinthians, when you gather, when the church meets, and this one's got a song, or this one's got a revelation, maybe the Lord passed by your way this week in a verse or in a scripture, and he's revealed something to you. And somebody comes and they've got a testimony of God's deliverance. All of those things given by God unto the church. And it's not so that somebody would look at me and say, look what a good fella that is. But God's given those gifts that they might be shared with the church. God's give that to you that somebody else might be strengthened and that somebody else might be helped in the place that they're in. And our desire for everyone, we ought not to ever look down at anybody for their lack. But we've been brought together that no man would have lack. That when the church gathers, we've got what we need to operate from all of the parts of the body. So Paul says here, and this is wonderful scripture in 1 Corinthians. He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. So that word means pity. And God of all comfort. That's imploration or solace. I think of that as hugging somebody up. You know, there's times that you can't do anything. There's times that there's not words to say. There's times that there's nothing that you can do to help what's in somebody's heart, but you can take them and hug them up to you and let them know that you're loved. You know, that's the way the Father does. I said of the service Friday night when we were on our way home, I told Morgan, there's nothing like it when the Lord, when He comes down in service, when He comes down in testimony, and He grabs you up and hugs you, and it feels like your head is laying right in His bosom. What comfort, what peace that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the God that we serve. If there is comfort, if there is solace, it's come from Him. And you know, you look at where we all came from. We all came out of the world. We all came out of sin. We all came from, if we all apply that Psalm 40, I believe it is, to us, we all came out of the miry clay, and we were all set on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was done by the hand of God Almighty. A God that if He had wanted to judge, or if He would have wanted to make fun, or if He wanted to have mocked at us, He could have freely done so. But you know what He is? He's a God of care. He cared for your soul. He cared for your life. He had pity upon your soul. He looked at the situation and the condition that you were in, and He pitied you, and He loved you, and He said, I'm going to do something to try to help them in that need. I'm going to do something to deliver them from that trouble and from that sin that they're in. He is a God of comfort and a God of mercy. And so as God shown pity, as God looked down on me in my pitiful estate, I ought to show pity as God did. I ought to have that kind of a heart that when I see folks, and you know, when we see outward affliction, I believe we're more apt to have pity for that fleshly affliction, for that fleshly suffering. But we ought to also look at our people that are in darkness. Maybe everything in their natural life may be going great. Everything may be, there may not be one thing that they need naturally, but we ought to be able to look spiritually at the condition of their soul and not say, it's a shame how evil that they are, but say, have pity upon their soul as the Lord did us. Yeah. Listen to this is what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 13. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Now, how would you finish that sentence? How is it that all men are going to know that we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's a lot of ways we would finish that, I believe. But this is the way the Lord finished that sentence. If you have love one to another. You know something that should set the church apart from everywhere else in the world is that the love of God is in the heart of everyone, and there's a care for everyone, and not just a shake of the hand or a hug of the flesh, but that out of the heart we love one another and we desire to see the good and the blessing and the growth and the edification of God Almighty. You know, man can be cruel of himself. We've got a fleshly nature that is to be cruel. That's to exalt himself and to run down or to tear down somebody else. Aren't you glad that God is not like that? Aren't you glad? You think about the times that you're weak, the times that
that you can't seem to get over whatever that it is that's upon our heart, but we can look to God Almighty, and instead of saying you ought to do better than that, God comforts our soul. He looks at us in our weakness and in our affliction, and He helps us in our time of need. And so we ought to look at one another in the times of their weakness and have pity upon those souls as the Lord has pitied us. So he says this, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. So what's he doing? He's calling near to invite. You know, when the youngin' falls and skins his knee or his hands, you know what mom and daddy does? Come here. Come here, let me hold you. Let me hug you. You know what that is? That's calling near for comfort. That's calling near to help and to love. And you know, you don't have to do anything for them. But that love helps their heart. Ain't that something? How that is? And we're the same way. We can get in these situations and these tribulations. The word itself means pressure. But I don't feel like that's sufficient. You see, Paul was under pressure and affliction and tribulation and trouble all of the time. But you know what? The Lord was there. At times Paul was weak. He could bow on his face and pray to God. And the Father was there to strengthen him and to encourage him and to help him. And he says here, he comforteth us in all of our tribulation. God is present. You know, we can fall on our face before God. We can lay out, I think of Hezekiah, what a beautiful picture there, as Rabshakeh sent the letter from Sennacherib of Assyria, and he said, I'm going to lay waste to Jerusalem, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're not going to be able to stop me. It troubled Hezekiah. It brought fear to Hezekiah. He was afraid of what was going to happen. He was concerned about his people and about the nation. And he come down to the house of God and he laid that letter out and said, God, I want you to look at this. Look at where I'm at. Look at my need and look at my trouble. Look at where Israel's been brought to. And the Lord come by the prophet and said, I want you to go speak to Hezekiah and I want you to tell him I'm going to deliver him.
Amen.
And God come by. God was mindful. God saw the trouble that Hezekiah was in. God comforted Hezekiah. And on down the road, God delivered Hezekiah. So the situation now in Hezekiah's day did not change at that instant. The enemy was still coming. They were still threatening. The pressure was still being applied. They were still there bearing down their neck. But Hezekiah was not afraid anymore. You know why that was? God had comforted him. God had promised him. And by that promise, Hezekiah believed that God was going to deliver. I believe if you'll search out your life, those times that we've been in those places, you can see how God has comforted us. You can see how God has been with us, how that God has given us promises, how that God's hand has been upon our lives and upon our hearts. And it ought to be that we look to and recognize that this God, He comforts us in all tribulation. Though there's been places that I thought I was alone, God was with me. Though there were tribulations that I thought God had forsaken me, He was mindful of me. He was there giving strength to me and encouraging me and helping me to go on down the road. And it's from God Almighty that we've received these things. So why does God do that? By this scripture right here, He comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So why does God comfort? I believe this, and I believe this wholeheartedly. I believe in a God that's in control of everything. I believe God today is in control of everything. The devil is under God's control. He will only do as God allows him to do, as God would permit, and as God would allow. That's all the power he's got. And so this God that's in control, could he not prevent trouble from coming to us? Could he not keep it from ever happening? Could he not have told the devil in Job's day, no, you're not going to touch him. No, you're not going to trouble him. But do you know why that trouble came? How many people do you reckon, since some say that that book is older than even the books of Moses, how many people in the last 3,500 years have looked to Job for strength and for encouragement? Have looked to what Job went through and endured and saw Job's testimony and saw Job's comfort and saw Job's patience and his endurance, and they were encouraged by that. And they could see the end of the way when God did deliver and God did bless, and say, I believe God will do that for me as well. You know why Job went through that? God never told Job why that he went through what he did. But I believe this, he went through that so that you and I could be comforted in our affliction and in our trouble. That we could look to that man and say, boy, there's a man that suffered. So that when I suffer, I can say God was with Job, and I believe God will be with me as well. So listen to this now, that we may be able to comfort them. So just like in the first book of Corinthians, God's give you a song to help somebody else in the church. God's revealed something in the scripture to you so that somebody in the church could be strengthened. And God gives us all of these gifts so that each one another, each one might be edified or built up or might grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God never gives a gift that is intended to exalt you. God's gifts are intended to be distributed to everybody around us. It's not ours anyway. It was given to us, so should we not share as God's given? The Lord Jesus Christ came. He did not come to be edified. He did not come that man would admire him. He came to do the will of the Father. He came to give his life, not for his sake. He came to give his life for our sake. He came to give his time, his energy, his strength, his effort to teach the Word of God and to teach these disciples. And when it come time to go to the cross, he gave his life and his blood there that man could have redemption from sin. And as the Lord came, not to be exalted himself, but to bring gifts unto the church, so the church should labor that we might have a gift to the edification of the body. And here, Paul says he comforteth us that we may be able to comfort. I remember a man used to be on the radio, died a long time ago, but I heard him say this one time on the radio. He said, that young man, he's a good preacher. He'll be a real preacher after he suffered a little while. You know what it takes? It takes some experience. Not a novice. Not somebody that's new in the faith, not somebody that's freshly saved, but somebody that's experienced the consolation of God. Somebody that's been down in the depths of trouble and God has comforted them. You know, it takes somebody like that to comfort somebody else. How in the world can I talk to you about something that I've never experienced? How could I with conviction comfort you if I've never been comforted? And so here we are. God, why do we have to go through this? Why does this trouble come our way? God brings us through those things. He comforts us and he strengthens us because somebody else is going to go through it one day. Somebody else is going to endure the same trouble, and we'll be equipped to comfort and to strengthen and to help them when that time comes. So Paul says he's comforted me so that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I realize the way that's written, the way it reads, it sounds confusing. But Paul says, God, I've been brought into this trouble, And God has, if you'll have it, He served me comfort so that when somebody else is in trouble, I can serve them with that same comfort. So that when the time comes that somebody else needs help, I may be able to help them. And that was the heart of Paul the Apostle. Paul loved the church. Paul loved these people. He loved their lives and he loved their souls and he loved their families. And his desire was for their building up. He said in one place, the daily, the care of the churches. You know where I believe Paul was a lot of times? He was on his face before God making intercession for these folks that he knew and that he loved in the Lord. He desired to see them grow. He wanted to see them blessed. Even as we read here, grace to you and peace. All of Paul's letters, grace and peace. Desiring the blessing and the favor and the love of God to be with his church. And so God has comforted Paul that we might comfort somebody else. God's loved Paul that we might love somebody else. God's delivered us that we might reveal that deliverance to somebody that's in trouble. Who can testify of God? Listen to this in Psalms. Psalm chapter 32, I believe. 34, the 34th Psalm. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. So what's going on here? Well, if you'll have it, here's the church coming together, and this psalm here, this is a song that they would have sung in the service down at the temple. They're singing, let's magnify the Lord together. Why would we magnify Him? Why would we testify of His deliverance? Why would we tell one another of what God has done for us? So that when trouble comes to somebody else in the body, they can say, you know, I remember Joseph said he went through this one time and I've seen the Lord help him. I've heard him testify of the deliverance of the Lord. Listen to what they're doing. They're exalting the Lord together and they're saying, I sought Him and He delivered me. I was in trouble and He helped me. I was in a dark place and I cried to Him and He heard me and He brought me up to His bosom and He loved me. You know what they're doing? They're telling, this is what God has done for me. Would you look at how God helped me? Why are they telling that? Not so that they'll be exalted, but that they look unto Him and were lightened. You know what the testimony does? It points man to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Him. He helped me. He's the one that brought me out. He's the one that delivered me. He's the one that comforted me. When I was in your place, and I tell you, the only people that can say this is people that's been there. But when I was in your place, I looked to the Lord and He helped me. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to cause the other individual to look to the Lord. If it's somebody that's lost, the testimony, when I was lost, God called me and He saved me. You know what that's going to cause them to do? To look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God help us that as God has blessed us with comfort, as God has blessed us with peace, as God has blessed us with deliverance, that's not for you to hoard up to yourself. It's to share one with another that each one might be edified. So you think about it this way, maybe very elementary, but if I study all afternoon for a message and I come down to the church and I never open my mouth, nobody's helped. Nobody's strengthened. Nobody's encouraged, except that be shared. That as God gives me something, I come down here with the intention, Lord, help me to share that with everybody here. Let everybody be blessed. Let everybody be strengthened. Whatever rung of the ladder that they're on, whatever they consider themselves, whether they're a babe needing milk or they're an old man needing strong meat, I pray that from this you would feed it. But you know what it takes? I'm going to have to get up and open my mouth and share that with you. And you see this now. You've been saved. You've been delivered that you might tell the glories and the praises of God, that somebody else might be helped by you. Amen. God brings us to here that we could help the others that are round about us. So Paul says, the comfort that God's given me, that's what I'm trying to share with you. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. You find that to be true? That when suffering abounds, when trouble abounds, when fears abound, and I've been there. I've been in places. I told Morgan one time, I said, it feels like there's got to be a pit in my stomach about something always. Why is it that there's always this here that's on my mind that's troubling me? Everywhere I look, it's troubling me. Why is it that we're here? Why is it that we endure these things? Why do we have to fear this way? Oh, I tell you this, he says here, he says that the sufferings of Christ abound, but you know what came with it? The consolation of God came with it. Though there was trouble, though there was fear, though there was doubt, though there was worry, the grace of God was present to help me to endure that. That as Paul prays, Lord, I've got this thorn in the flesh that's troubling me. Paul says, I'd like to be rid of this. Would you remove this from me? And God says, Paul, my grace is sufficient. You'll be able to endure it. You're going to make it. And by that, I'm going to be glorified.
Amen.
And so, when trouble abounds, the grace of God abounds as well.
Yeah.
And even when the devil whispers, when he whispers right here. And it could come from a person. The devil works through people. It could come from a person and it could just be a thought in the back of our mind. The devil says, he's forgot about you. He don't care about you. God's not thinking about you anymore. You know what there is? In the depths of the heart of the church, there's a roaring that says, my God has not forsaken me. He's not left me here.
Yeah.
But you know what we can see? That we've been brought here by the purpose of God, and that God is in control of our situation. And as troubles abound, so also does the consolation abound. So that word, imploration or solace, it's that hugging up that I talked about earlier. And you know what I found? That as troubles increase, I draw nearer to the Lord. You let everything go good. Let everything be going well. And my need to pray will hit the bottom. My desire to pray will hit the bottom. But you let a sword go through your soul. You let some pressure come to your life. Let some affliction, let some trouble come to you. You know the first place a child of God wants to go is straight down to the knee. And let me call on my Father. Let me lay this letter out before Him. Let me pray unto my Father that I know loves me. Oh, I tell you, would to God that we could have peace in that, knowing that God is with us in every place, and knowing that though troubles and sufferings abound, our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So know this, there would be no consolation without the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe this is elementary, but you got a hole in the ground out here where there's water. And we can get it out of the sink, used to, out of the water fountain. You know how that was? There was a pipe and a pump that brought that. And if you sever that pipe, if there's no pipe to carry that, then there's no way for that water to come to us. So you think about that now, spiritually speaking. Take that natural picture, apply it spiritually. The consolation of God cannot reach our lives without the blood and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. God couldn't deal with filthy, wicked, and sinful man except there be a sacrifice, and except there be bloodshed. And so we're able to benefit in the consolation and the love of God only because the Lord Jesus gave Himself for us. To God be the glory for every bit of it. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now you talk about big words to say. Paul was a man of great wisdom. The Lord had brought him a long way. You know why the Lord gave him these gifts? So that he could write this scripture. And so that we could read it today. And the church could be helped by it. You see how the life and the suffering and all that Paul went through in his life, do you see how that's come even to our day? And we're helped by Paul's suffering. We're helped by Job's suffering. We're helped by Elijah's suffering. We're helped by what Peter endured. And so the body today, though afflictions abound, if we're afflicted, it's for your consolation. So, I guess a big statement. One that's hard to chew up and swallow. But when you're afflicted, if God allows affliction to your house, it's to help somebody else down the road. If you're afflicted, Paul says, I'm afflicted, and it's for your consolation and for your salvation. I believe Paul, one of the greatest sufferers in the early church, that endured the most trouble and endured the most tribulation and the most pressure and the most physical suffering. And you know what the church could do? They could look to him. They could see all that Paul went through and said he stayed with it. God strengthened and helped him. God's blessed him through every bit of it. And God's going to bless us just like he did them. And Paul could look at them and say, listen, you know, it's easy for somebody that's never went through anything to tell you to stay with it. But when it's somebody that you've seen go through it, that you've seen be plunged down into the depths of trouble and fear, and you've seen God deliver them, you'd take their advice. You'd say, how in the world did you make it through that time? How did you endure that? And you can say, listen, the only way that I made it and the only way that I could make it is that the grace of God would be with me. God heard me. God comforted me. He brought me up into His bosom and He loved me, and that's how I made it. That somebody else might look to the Lord and seek the same comfort and the same consolation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. So effectual, active or efficient. So this consolation and salvation is effectual. It's active. It's presently working. See, the trouble comes, and a lot of times the trouble is all that we see. The children of Israel, they're brought to the edge of the Red Sea. They got cliffs on either side, and Pharaoh's running them down. And all they see is Pharaoh. But you know what's working on the other side? The Lord's working. The Lord's brought them to that place. The Lord's brought Pharaoh behind them for this purpose. God's going to deliver them from Pharaoh, and he'll never trouble them again. God's going to destroy Pharaoh. So what would be the encouragement there? Let us trust the Lord in every situation. Don't forsake to seek Him. Don't forsake to pray to Him. Don't doubt His power and His presence. Know this, He's working in every situation. He's never idle. The Lord is never idle. There may be times that we're idle, that we're not doing anything. But this consolation of God is active and efficient in the enduring, cheerful endurance of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So Paul says this, and he gets close to this in another place as well. Whatever I'm suffering for the elect's sake. What I go through, it's for somebody else's sake. The Lord Jesus suffering, and his endurance and all that he went through, it was all for our sake. I believe we can see that easily. That the Lord was beaten, he was smitten, he was mocked, he was spit on, he was nailed to a cross, and he gave his life, and every bit of that was for us. He gave it all for us, that we have victory, that we have consolation, that we have solace. And the Lord says, as I've suffered and as I've endured for somebody else, would you be willing to suffer and endure for the good of the body? And man says, no, I'm not willing to. I'm not willing. I don't want them to do good. I don't want to suffer. I want everything to be good with me always. See, that's the heart of man. You know what's different about the church? They love one another. And they care for one another. And in a lot of ways, more than they care for themselves. And they're willing to be servants. They're willing to give their time. They're willing to give their effort. They're willing to give their study. That even as in an office, like a Sunday school teacher, they've given their time to study. They've given their time to search the Scriptures. You know why that is? Ken said this morning that he had looked maybe in 15 chapters to get to where he was. You know why that is? So that we might gather together and there be something there that could help these. Gail may be dealing with little bitty children, but you know what there is? There's something that might help edify them, that might help them to grow in the knowledge of the truth. So we labor, not that our name be exalted, but we're laboring for the good and for the benefit and for the edification of somebody else, that somebody else might grow in the knowledge of the truth and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that somebody else might be pointed to our Savior that comforted us. That somebody else might see the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. How are they going to see it? Through experience. It's not idle words. It's not cunningly devised fables. It's not stories. It's not something that's 2,000 years ago and there's nothing today. But there's people that's enduring today and they've got a testimony. They've got something to say. God's done something for you. You've got something that you could say. We ought to say that for the glory of God. We ought to say that and say, you know, I don't know why. I don't know why this is, but maybe it could help somebody else that's in trouble. This is what God done for me. This is how He delivered me. This is how that He's helped me. And may it help somebody else that's in the church. The devil says, don't waste time. But if God's done it for you, He's done it for the church's sake. You see that here? Paul's suffering for the church's sake. Paul's comforted for the church's sake. And our hope of you is steadfast, stable, or firm. One of Maxine's favorite words, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So Paul says, my hope, my confidence, my expectation of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. So listen to Paul's expectation. I steadfastly, unmovably expect that as you suffer, God will comfort you. Do you know how Paul could say that? Because when Paul suffered, God comforted him. Paul's telling us his testimony here, if you'll have it. Paul's telling us that when I was in trouble, God comforted me. And I'm confident of this, that He'll do the same thing for you. That when you're troubled, God will comfort you. And by this, the church at Corinth could read it and they could have hope. They could have peace. They could say, look at what Paul's saying. We've seen Paul suffer and God's helped him. So if we suffer, we know that God will help us as well. He'll be with us in trouble and in suffering. Maybe we'll stop right there.